Imagine yourself as a young woman experiencing a rally race for the first time. You're a co-driver, and your job is to read the pace notes so that the driver knows where to turn and how fast to drive. Driving at incredible speeds, you work as a team to keep the car on the road and get to the finish as fast as possible. You're hooked. You decide to pursue rally as a full-time career and see how far you can advance in this incredible sport. In today's episode, I get to talk with Christiana, a rally driver from Romania. She first got hooked on rally in 2015 and has been building her career ever since. In 2019, she became the first woman driver from Romania to compete in the prestigious European Rally Championship. She is constantly pushing herself and her team to achieve success. Being a rally driver hasn't come easy, however. She has been faced with numerous setbacks and challenges while building her career. During our conversation, we discuss what drives her passion for motorsports and how she is giving back to the community by inspiring female rally drivers to join the sport. Welcome to the Curiosity Shire, a place where we will uncover the stories behind ordinary people living extraordinary adventures. My name is Seth, and I'll be your host during today's conversation. I'm an American expat who's married to an Icelander, loves travel and aviation, and works as a registered nurse here in the city of Reykjavik. I bring my sense of adventure and endless curiosity into each conversation as I deconstruct what drives the people who are making an impact in our world.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure. As I told you, I love talking about what I do in rallying, so please stop me if I talk too much.
Sounds great. I was reading your website, and I noticed that in, I think, 2015, you switched from architecture to rally. Tell me what got you into rally, because it sounds like you weren't in it from the beginning. It's not been your whole life. Was family in it, or what kind of drew you to rally at the beginning?
I had no contact with motorsport, actually, until I was like 22, I think, 20 or 21. The thing is, I studied two faculties at the same time, urban planning and architecture. And in 2014, I graduated urban planning. And even though I loved that domain, I didn't want to work in Romania as an urban planner because of all the politics and the whole context, which is not specific to Romania, but I think it's a little bit harder here. So I started just playing around, and I created a blog first about travel and like general stuff like everybody did at that time. And I started writing about my family's cars, my car and my mom's car. So a couple of friends of ours who are involved in the automotive industry just told me they loved how I write about cars, and it's a new thing. There are very few women in automotive too. So they encouraged me to actually create an automotive blog. And somehow I ended up being in a rally car soon after that, because I got a job as a motorsport PR at the Romanian Motorsport Federation. I had no idea what motorsport was, but I had to, to understand rallying in order to promote it. So this is how I ended up in a rally car in 2015 as a co-driver, actually, right next to the guy who became my mentor, who was actually a national champion in rallying and a very cool guy overall. So,
wow.
Yeah, I had my driver's license since I was 18, and I had the luck to have my own car, and we did like a lot of road trips around the country with my friends back in university. So I drove a lot, but I had no idea what rallying was about. I was curious to find out what it's like to actually drive a car to the limit. So this is how it all started.
It's interesting that you say that, because that was something, I'm from America, but then now living in Iceland. And once you learn more about some of the European countries, it's not always a given that everybody has their driver's license or owns a car. Mm-hmm. Here in Iceland, yeah. But, some of the European countries, not so much. So I was curious, how is it in Romania? Because you mentioned that. Is it very usual for people not to have a driver's license and just use, public transportation?
Actually, no, because we have our infrastructure is not that developed. So most of the people prefer to use their own cars, even if they use it only on weekends or they have to go to another town to visit their families. They all prefer to use their own cars because we have like a very poor train infrastructure, few buses, and it's quite dangerous. So it's not, unfortunately, we are the worst positioned country in the road safety statistics every year. And yeah, this was actually one of my missions, to encourage people and especially young people to really learn how to drive correctly and to handle a car in like limit situations so that they will be safe in traffic.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, and I definitely want to talk about what you're doing in that regard, kind of promoting vehicle safety as well in a bit. But yeah, to start off with, so that was kind of your intro to rally. And is motorsport and rally kind of synonymous? Is motorsport talking about rally, or is what is kind of the definition there?
Well, in Romania, rallying is the main motorsport discipline because we don't have a lot of racetracks. We actually have 3 racetracks, so, and they are quite new. But rallying is a part of motorsport history in Romania. So it started like almost, I think, 60, 70 years ago. We had a lot of famous rallies passing through Bucharest, like Balkanic rallies in the region. And there were a lot of interesting cars, drivers here. We also have Dacia, which is our national automotive brand, which was recently bought by Renault. Not quite recently. For us, it's recent. But Dacia is in everybody's hearts because sometime any family would have gotten a Dacia at some point. Mm. So everybody remembers like our parents or our grandparents having a Dacia and always repairing something and seeing them also on a rally track. So on a rally, actually, on a rally special stage. So this is
really
why.
Cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of nice gravel roads too. So we still have those forest roads and the nice gravel surface, which we still can use.
Yeah, I guess now's a good time since you mentioned the gravel roads. Tell me, for somebody listening to this who is very new to rally, I know a little bit because I actually interviewed Katie Munnings for another podcast I have. But for somebody who doesn't really know what rally is about, kind of give an overview of what the track is, what the general idea behind the sport is.
So rallying is a very complex motorsport discipline because it doesn't only have a driver, you also have a co-driver at all times in the race car because the rally is not happening on the same racetrack. It happens on different special stages, which means you cannot remember like tens of kilometers of different kilometers of special stage where you need to be as fast as you can. No matter what are the conditions. So in rallying, if it rains, if it snows, if it's sunny, it doesn't matter. So you have to face it all and you have to adapt your driving to the weather conditions. And you have
it's like
to
real life driving.
Yeah, it's like it's very much like real life driving. And you have the co-driver, which reads the pace notes. The pace notes are how you see the road before, because you pass on the special stages before going at slow speed, like legal, respecting all the legal requirements on a street car. You go with a street car and you tell your co-driver the pace notes, what you see, like a left turn or a right turn or a straight line and the distance between them. These are the pace notes. So, and this, the rallying actually happens like for 2 or 3 days in a region around an important city or around the headquarters. So this is why it's so complex.
Yeah, that makes sense because you're not just going around a track, you know, so many times. And it's always take a left turn, go straight, take a left turn, you know, or just a track that you can memorize easily because it's always changing. And each place that you have the rally stage is also different because, yeah, like you said, it's just the regular roads that they close it off and then you race on the regular roads. So exactly. How far in advance do you do that? What do you call that drive when you create the pace notes?
It's from French, reconnaissance, which is like recognizing the racetrack before the special stage. And we usually have two passes on each special stage. And on the first one, I tell my co-driver what to write, and he or she writes down the on a notebook what I tell her, like left turn. We have usually the notes are. There are a few different types of notes. I use the European one, which has like turns from 1 to 6, 1 being a hairpin and 6 being almost a straight line, a little bit to the left or right, which is like 6 left or 6 right. And you have like all sorts of information, like it tightens, or if you have a crest, you can have a, I don't know, left turn over crest. And this kind of information helps you know when to brake and when you can accelerate and when you can go flat out, so you can anticipate the road. Usually the co-driver tells me 2 or 3 turns ahead, so I can imagine, because you cannot go fast if you drive based on what you see, so what you can see ahead of you, because that means you're slower actually. This is when the co-driver comes up.
It's kind of like when you're reading, and if you're focusing on what the letters are, you're not able to read as fast as you could. Usually you're looking 3 words ahead and then saying it. It seems like it would be similar to that.
Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah. So that really fascinates me, because you have to really work on your communication, and the co-driver is almost as important as the driver, because they have to know, like you said, you know, the driver needs to know 3 turns in advance. What kind of training do you have to become a co-driver? Or do you have to have any? Like, how does a new person get in?
Anybody who wants to become a rally driver or a co-driver has to follow some driving courses or co-driving courses. But it's not like, this is the starting point. And I always tell people that starting is the easiest point in motorsport, because you cannot skip steps. And you have to gain experience by being there and by competing. So actually right now, next week, I'm going to a winter rally with a 16-year-old co-driver. And she's going to have her first rally like with me. And I know I have to teach her a lot of things, and I will be patient, and I'm expecting her to maybe to miss one line of the pace notes, and or maybe not to read correctly, or to read in front, or to stay behind a little bit of the pace notes. So, but this is part of the process. I mean, the drivers which taught me, I started as a co-driver, and I had the chance to understand what a rally is without spending my own money and without, you know, endangering my own rally car, which is actually very expensive. So I was very lucky, because people had a lot of patience with me, and they told me what a rally is about. So this is what I'm trying to, you know, pass along to younger,
you're kind
younger
of
drivers.
Paying it forward, paying it to
yeah,
the next,
well, why not?
Next group of motorsport drivers. Yeah. Do you actually own your car, or is it like with the sponsors, or how does that work? You don't get a new car with each race, right?
No, it's all my decision and my strategy, because motorsport it's still a niche sport in Romania, and maybe this is why, one of the reasons that I'm still the only woman driver in our national rally championship. So, and I don't like it, because it's still a struggle to promote women in motorsport. And one of the reasons I decided to buy my own race car is because I cannot afford to pay the damage. If I rent a car, it's very expensive to rent it with insurance. And usually if you cannot rent it without insurance, or if you rent it without insurance, you have to, you know, assume that if you crash it, you pay it, of course. But if it's my car, it's a little bit cheaper to run it, so to compete with it. And it was like a safety net for me to be able to have my own car, to make my own decisions. It's like a gamble when you rent, or it's very expensive. So it was quite a business decision, let's say, so I can continue doing this for like 4 or 5 years more at least.
No, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, you're the only female rally driver in Romania. That's crazy.
Right, so, now, yeah. I mean, we had a few other girls, and it was very nice to, because we all compete in the same championship, so we don't have separate standings, but still it's nice when you see other women, you know, because you don't feel as special, let's say. And this is one of the reasons I loved going in the European Rally Championship, because you mentioned Katie Munnings, and I love her. I mean, she was one of my inspirations, because I saw her competing in the European Rally Championship, and she actually encouraged me. By seeing her, I got inspired to search some info about ERC, and finally I competed there in 2019. So it's important to see other people doing this, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To see that it's possible. And I know you have an Instagram page. Tell me more about the organization or the group that you have promoting women in motorsports. And I'm not even going to say the name again, because I already forgot it.
No problem. It's Femei in Motorsport, which is the word for women in Romanian. In 2018, after seeing a lot of women involved in European motorsport, and I saw what the FIA commission was doing to promote them, I decided to make my own project in Romania, because there was no such project at all. There was no interest from the federation to actually do something like this. So in 2019, I decided to launch this platform called Femei in Motorsport, the Romanian Women in Motorsport platform. The first step was to highlight women who were involved in motorsport or who are actively involved in motorsport in all kinds of roles. So not only as drivers, but as co-drivers, team managers, PRs, journalists, organizers. Right now we have 80 women on the platform, and it's all about showing the diversity of roles, of women who are all over the country, who have all kinds of backgrounds, all sorts of involvement in motorsports, because a lot of them have a day job, so they do motorsport as a hobby or as a part-time project. So it's very nice to see. We have young girls who have like 10, 11 years old. We have girls in karting. We have women in off-road, like drivers, co-drivers. We have everything in between.
That's awesome. And what do you guys have, like events or just a way to share stories? Just encourage each other?
Well, not yet, because after 2019, at first people didn't know what to expect, because a lot of women are still, they don't want to promote themselves. So they are skeptical about being on a website, especially because when you are a driver, you really need to get sponsors and to promote yourself. But if you're not a driver, then money is no problem, you know, in motorsport. Motorsport is very expensive if you're the driver. If not, it's a little bit different. So you have a different perspective. So because nobody was promoting themselves as much, they were skeptical. And then the pandemic came into 2020. So we meet at rallies, of course. And I still think it's useful, because a lot of the girls had some interviews, especially the young drivers who are struggling right now to find sponsors and to grow their careers. And I think the job was accomplished at that point.
And it's probably just going to grow as the pandemic kind of comes to an end, which hopefully is very soon.
Yeah, I hope so too.
But thankfully it's not affecting your upcoming rally. And this is the first of the year. And I think we were talking before we started recording, this is going to be your first snow rally, right?
Yeah, it's going to be my first snow rally. So it's all about learning.
So what kind of preparation have you done for that?
Well, I've been in the garage actually last week to check on the boys, to talk to them about a little bit about the setup. But there's actually no actual preparation at the steering wheel of the race car. So I'm going to be in the driver's seat only next week on Thursday, when we're going to have some test sessions in that region where the rally will be. I only need kilometers on a snowy special stage. So this is going to be next week, and we'll see.
Nice.
It's going to be a lot of work, because having my new 16-year-old co-driver next to me is going to, I have to learn the car, but I'm very confident in it. So I'm sure I will be able to get on a good rhythm because we have 3 days of rallying. So for sure, I will be able to grow the pace. But in the same time, I have to, you know, to keep an eye on my co-driver and help her grow as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's kind of like you're racing, but then you're also training. So it can be difficult because you can't just, how do I say, relax and just say what comes natural. You have to also think about where she's coming from and say things in a way that makes sense to her.
I have to adjust my mental setup. I think this will be very important for next week because usually, as you said, the co-driver is just as important as the driver, and you have to completely trust each other. And when I'm in the rally car, usually I trust my co-driver. So whatever he or she says, I'm doing that. If they say like two left 50, which is a very tight left turn and then followed by 50 meters distance, I'm doing that. And even if I see the road will go right. So I have to adjust my mental setup and not to, you know, to be extra careful.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, mistakes are normal. I did this once when I started as a co-driver and we ended up in the bushes. So, yeah, I know. I know how it is.
I was going to say, that must be so stressful because you were mentioning earlier, you know, sometimes she might read forward or behind, or I guess if they make a mistake, yeah, you're going to end up in the bushes because the driver doesn't know what to do. Like they're not expecting something.
It's the same. I mean, if I brake too late, then we're in the bushes and I did the mistake. And you really have to be like a little bit crazy to be a co-driver. I think a little bit crazier than a driver because you have no control.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's why you became a driver, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love.
You're like, I'm not gonna be a co-driver.
Everybody says that they love drifting and they love throwing around the car and those spectacular moves. And I don't. I mean, I love the control and I loved because I don't have any motorsport background. I love the fact that. With my first contact, I drove actually a Dacia Logan, which is the slowest rally car ever, I think. It had like 95 horsepower, and it's an old cheap car, which is amazing for you to learn how to properly gain speed and keep it with you, because it's so slow, and if you brake too early or you don't know how to take the turns right, you don't have clean lines, you lose a lot of speed. So this for me was amazing because I thought it's going to be easier because, you know, everybody thinks they're a rally driver when they have a strong car and they have the empty road ahead. But it's not like that. I mean, you cannot, as I told you, you cannot skip steps. It's a whole different process of adjusting what you learned, mostly what you learned bad from driving school and what you have to relearn. And you just have to reset your driving skills. So you can really understand the dynamic in a rally car. And this helps you a lot after that in traffic. So,
yeah. What are some of the biggest things that you learned and you find useful as far as driving? Like things that have kept you from getting in accidents or, yeah, just some useful tips for driving.
Well, for sure, I understood how I can control the car, any car, at higher speeds, but this made me understand that when I'm in traffic, when I'm on a public road, I usually leave my life in the hands of others, because you never know. I mean, I became more and more cautious in traffic after I started rallying, and I started actually going a lot slower, because of course I get my adrenaline shot from the rallies, but that's not the point. I mean, the thing is, you really become aware of how dangerous it actually is, because I thought I was a good driver when I started rallying, and I was not. And I really had, you know, like a very good image of myself. When you understand how bad you can drive after 2 or 3 years being in traffic, you get a whole different perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it's good to have that experience because we all think we're better than we are. Well, maybe some people actually are kind of scared of, but I've been there. It's like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And then, you know, you get in a situation and you're like, wow, I did not. And that can be, yeah, really, really eye-opening. Yeah. You mentioned, yeah, so you competed in the European rally, and you were one of the first women drivers. Is that correct?
From Romania, actually.
Yeah, Romania. Yeah, okay.
I was the first Romanian woman driver to ever compete in an ERC event outside our country. So yeah, I'm trying to. For me, it's not about these, milestones. I mean, I love them, of course, because it started like a curiosity. I was very curious mm-hmm. to understand what it's like to be in a European rally. I mean, I started actually from the budget, because I wanted to know what the entry fee was, how much did it cost, how long the rally was, stuff like that. And it was a personal challenge to see if I was able to finish such a difficult rally, because it was longer, it was harder than any national rally I've been in the last few years. And I was very happy, to actually finish, and to finish on a quite good spot, I would say. I was eighth in my category. And I want to also inspire everybody, like young women, boys, girls, I don't care. I want to inspire people just to follow their dreams, and even though it seems impossible. So,
yeah.
I think motorsport has this quality, and sport in general has the quality to inspire people beyond trophies and sports performance,
Yeah, no, because we kind of watch your journey through this and pushing for something that you love. What do you think has been the hardest aspect of rally for you personally?
Well, for me, it's hard to choose, but because of course it was a challenging and it still is a challenging adventure. I think the hardest part was to always juggle with the budget and my need to try to become a better driver. And it's very hard to do this when you are the one who also does the contracts and the media jobs and social media and blog and everything in between. So I manage my own business and I manage my own partners and everything, all my responsibilities to them, everything I post on social media. So even the decisions regarding which rally I should compete in, because I don't have money to go to all of them. So I have mm-hmm. to choose depending on the surface, like tarmac or gravel, depending on the car parts that I need, because maybe I don't have enough tires for gravel, but I have tires for tarmac. So maybe one rally is closer to home, so it's cheaper a little bit. Maybe I have a friend and I can sleep at them, so I cut the hotel costs. So it's all these stupid little decisions, which were very, very hard to manage at the same time all by myself. And of course I still have to, sleep, train, like mental training, physical training.
So the usual stuff.
Yeah, this was the hardest part, because I don't work with a professional motorsport team. I have of course my motorsport technical assistance team, and I trust them with my car. But I still get to make the decisions about which car parts do I need, if I have the money for them or not. So bottom line, it's all about the money. And yeah. it's starting to get better. And I'm sure that once I have the minimum budget to be able to do a full championship without worrying that if I crash the car, I don't have money to repair it, I think it will get better. The sports performance part will get better.
Yeah. And is that kind of pretty common among the other teams as well? Or are there some teams who just have it all put together, they have a lot of money, or are most of the people you're competing against also juggling this?
Let's say the majority do have a struggle with money, but it depends on what kind of approach do you have, because I've seen very fast drivers and very good rally drivers which only did like two or three rallies and then they crashed and their career was over. And it's very hard when you're starting. Yeah, when you're starting, I mean, for me, it's really, first of all, it's, I have to approach it like a business. Because if I approach it only as a driver, because of course, this is, I think this is the dream of any athlete in the world, to be able to perform no matter the budget, no matter the social media, no matter, I don't care. I want to be the best.
Yeah.
And of course, this is a dream, but I still haven't reached it, because if I was thinking like that, I probably would have crashed a long time ago. And it's, I simply don't afford to repair my car. So.
Yeah. And when you say they crashed and their career was over, was it just because they couldn't afford another car, or?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you have to raise money to pay back for the car if it wasn't yours, or if it, I mean, not everybody affords, so. Yeah,
exactly. No, in my mind, I was like, do they sustain like really bad injuries, or what caused their career to be over?
It's much safer than it looks like from the outside, because all of our rally cars are strictly homologated and they have all those safety measures. The FIA works constantly to improve the safety measures, and we get each year new improvements, new, you know, tweaks to be safer and safer in the rally car. So from that point of view, I feel very comfortable in the rally car. But it's not, you have to also have that mental comfort. And I'm very happy because I actually managed to grow this into a solid career. And this year it feels like it's going to be the best yet. So it's very nice to have that comfort. And this winter rally next week is going to be like just for fun, for a new experience, for a new driving skill. And it's very nice to be able to include in your rally calendar something like this. So just for the fun of it, for the experience of it, without thinking that I don't have money for the rest of the season, like it would have been like 2 or 3 years ago.
That's awesome. That's really cool that you've gotten to that place and you've worked so hard and built that up. And I think that kind of helps you be a better driver, because you're balancing, like, I didn't realize all the things that you're balancing. You know, you can't go too fast, be crazy, and ruin your car because you don't have money for that. But then you also can't go too slow, because then you're going to lose every single race and then nobody's going to want to sponsor you. So you're kind of like this balance, which is pretty incredible. So yeah, props to you.
Thanks.
I'm very curious, what has been some of the, what would you say, craziest moments of your rally career? Like, either exciting or what the heck just happened? Any crazy stories from during the races?
For sure, it was our European Rally Championship debut in Rally di Roma Capitale in 2019. It was the first and only so far European rally I've ever done. But it was it was crazy, because I told you, it started as a curiosity. And I actually borrowed money to be able to compete to get there. We got there, and at first, during the reconnaissance, we got lost like two or three times. We slept like just a few hours each night, because there was so much work to do on the pace notes, and the schedule was just so tight. I got two tickets, one speed ticket and one parking ticket, when I was in Rome for the ceremonial start. But they actually asked me to be a part of the pre-event press conference, and it was crazy because I was there with all the European rally champions, and you know, it just felt unreal to be there. And then right before the ceremonial start, the car had a technical problem, and I thought I would not be able to attend the ceremonial start with the car. I was imagining myself and my co-driver just going up the stage without the car. But the guys fixed it, and then we had the ceremonial start, the whole parade around the Colosseum with the police escort. And it's so unreal, this kind of experience. This is one of the reasons I want to have I'm really trying to get the budget to be able to continue going into the ERC, and maybe one day in the World Rally Championship, because it's so much more than the rallies. The rally stages are beautiful, they are technical, they are difficult, they teach you a lot, they really teach you how to be a better driver. But then again, the experience, the people, the cultures, the places you get to see, this is just priceless. I mean, rallying is so much more than, you know, just going fast, at least for me. And Rally di Roma, the craziness didn't stop there, because during the free practice, before the actual rally, we lost a wheel right on the stage. So, yeah. And it was,
oh, man.
Yeah, it was full of, let's say, interesting moments, because there aren't problems as big, but yeah, we had a lot of adventures on the stages too, but in the end, like, finishing that rally, it was the best feeling ever.
And I noticed a picture behind you of the Colosseum with a rally car. Is that is that from that experience?
Yeah, it is.
That is so cool. Yeah, the opportunities you get for traveling, and I guess you probably have a bit of time off, like before and after the race, right? You get to experience each culture in the new place that you go.
Not so much, depending on how you do your flight schedule. Usually you don't have so much time to stop and enjoy, but it's good even for your mental health to do that, to at least try to do that a little bit. Because yeah, maybe you will regret it if the rally ends and you go home and you didn't enjoy everything. So this is, at first I didn't understand when drivers said that they're just enjoying their rallies, and then I understood that it's not all about that, you know, being so focused that you forget to enjoy what's happening to you. So it's okay to be focused, it's okay to work very hard and to be very serious about it, but it's as okay to just laugh it all out, even before or after the rally stage. I mean, if it helps, why not?
Yeah, just enjoy the experience, you know. You never know what will happen.
Yeah, because, you know, hard work doesn't exclude enjoying everything that happens. So it's important to remember that from time to time.
That is very true. And something a lot of times, like when you're an entrepreneur, which is kind of what you're doing, building your own business around rally, the grind can be glorified. You know, just keep working, keep working. And it's really important to always remember that you can also just enjoy yourself, because that's what life's about, you know, at the end of the day. As long as you're working hard and not being lazy, like, enjoy the experiences, because that's what you're building, the business you're building.
Yeah, for sure. And even taking a break, I mean, in the last 2 months, I took an almost complete social media break, because I had quite a difficult year because of some haters and online trolls and, like, mean commentaries that were written about me. And it's okay, even if you don't feel like working, it's okay to take like 1 or 2 days off just to be lazy. Sometimes it's good for the mental health, especially because we are still in a pandemic, and I don't think we fully realize how bad it affected us, this whole context, and everybody copes differently. So I'm still trying to understand. At first I was terrified, because I thought, okay, my career is over, there were no rallies, everything was in lockdown, what did I do to my life? Mm-hmm. So everybody had that shock moment, you know, and we're still recovering, we're still trying to figure things out, and it's important to know when to take a break.
I think that's so important. And just kind of to wrap up, if you had one piece of advice that you have learned on this journey to during your rally career, I shouldn't say journey to a specific place, because you're still on that journey and growing, and it'll be exciting to see the new adventures that you go on in rally. But somebody who is chasing their dream, what would be one piece of advice that you'd give them?
Well, one of the conclusions I had at the beginning of this year, actually, in the last few weeks, is that it's the most important thing is to trust yourself. I think the biggest believer in your dreams should be you, because people come and go in your life, and maybe you have a team you work with, you have a very good connection, but maybe that team won't be there like 4 or 5 years. So you have to be your biggest supporter. You really have to believe in yourself, even when nobody else is there. So I think this is the most important thing, because as I said, people come and go, even your family. I was lucky because my mom supported me all along the way, and she never ever doubted me. And now she's like, oh, whatever you want to do, I'm sure you will do it. I will support. I mean, don't tell me. I mean, you know, it's the default. Yes, I mean, but it wasn't like that in the beginning. And I understood that I have to be that person in my life. You know, if I have a crazy idea, I have to be the first person that will say, okay, I'm in, I will support you, I believe in you. I think this is very important. Yeah. Because when you start doubting yourself, our mind can create such terrifying monsters.
Yeah, that is very true. if you aren't your biggest supporter, you can be your worst troll.
Yeah, we are really mean to ourselves from time to time, and it's not that good.
Yeah. If somebody was listening to this and they're like, hey, I want to learn more about Chris and maybe learn more about Rally, sure. How is the best way that they could find you online?
Well, first of all, on my Instagram, which is Chris with double S Opera. I hope you will write it somewhere.
I'll write that, yeah.
In the link.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. And on my blog, cristianaopera.ro for now, I have the blog also, it's in English, so I have to translate my latest articles, but I promise I will do this soon enough.
I was actually wondering about that, because I visited your website, and first it was in Romanian, and then I translated it to English, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of work. Like, I know how much work it takes to translate a website. That's crazy. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I did it for me because I found so many interesting people in the international community. And I think the motorsport international community is so much more supportive than here. At least this is how I felt. So I got in touch with a lot of nice people who helped me with some tips and tricks about rallying, and it's just amazing to feel welcomed, you know, and supported each step of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your stories. I've really enjoyed learning more about rally and about your journey in rally specifically. So I'm excited to watch where you go and how this year goes for you.
Thank you. I have some very nice surprises for this year. All will be revealed soon, so keep in touch.
Yeah. So I've actually been following you for a while, but our listeners, they can go follow you and see what those are too. That's exciting.
For sure. I will race two different race cars in two different championships this year. So spoiler.
Oh, wow.
this is all I can say.
Yeah, I was gonna say we better cut this podcast off before you say too much. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for visiting the Curiosity Shire and listening to today's conversation. If you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast and come join the conversation on Instagram at Curiosity Shire. This episode was edited and produced by Agnes Grettersdottir, with music by John Bentley and Grand Mercy. And I'm your host, Seth Sutherland, wishing you all the best until we see you again here in the Curiosity Shire.